Okay, guys. Open to Acts 16. Acts 16. Get some scriptures. Andy, Acts 16, 6 through 10. Edgar, Acts 16, 9. Alex, Psalm 37, 23. Kobe, Romans 15, 20. And Casey, Acts 16, 14, and 15. This lesson came out of questions the other day at breakfast, which is the beauty of asking questions, because it gives me insight into things that can help other people. So one of the issues that faces disciples who are thinking that they're going to preach one day, or that's a possibility, is how do you know where to go? And connected to that is, how do you decide whether to take a church or to pioneer? So Acts chapter 16 is such an interesting chapter, because it is the Apostle Paul and his missionary party finding direction, and they are hearing from God about where to go, but it comes in several different ways, and that's often true. So I'm going to do a lesson. This is called Choices and Leading in Pioneering, Acts 16, 6 through 10.
Now when they had gone through Phrygia and region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." Now after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them.
Okay, so let's talk first of all about the methods of leading. So in ministry, you're going to do any kind of ministry, obviously you want to make the best choice possible. I'm assuming that in life you don't want to make a bad choice. And so and a best choice would be obviously what God wants you to do. But apart from that is, you want to make a choice that has the best chance of success and having God's blessing. So when you're considering any kind of a choice in life, you have to have a confidence that this is God's work. If we are doing God's will, you have to have confidence that it is in God's best interest to lead us and help us to make right decisions. In other words, some people are tormented by, you know, all the millions of possibilities you could make in life. What if I make a wrong one? But this is God's work, and so it's in His best interest to help you and to guide us. So, Acts 16 is a very, very interesting chapter, because you see God leading them where they need to be, but it happens in different ways. And that is very, very important to understand, is that God's direction does come in different ways. Let's look at some of the ways that God leads people, and we're talking now not simply in all of life, but we're talking about finding the will of God in ministry. So the first of these would be what we call direct leading, and that is, God is able to speak to us and tell us what to do. There's a very famous verse, Acts 16, 9.
And a vision appeared to Paul. Man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us."
Okay, so this is awesome. You want to know where to go. He has a supernatural vision. Obviously, this is from God. Come to Macedonia. You can't get better than that. Is God spoke to them? You know, they don't have to look at a map. Is God told them to go to Macedonia? So off they go. God speaking. In my ministry, I have had God do this one time. I've made many choices. I've pioneered twice. I've pioneered twice, taken churches three times, assisted three times, evangelized twice. And in all of those choices, one time I had God speak to me absolutely clearly. God told me to go to South Africa. And that was crystal clear. All the other ones didn't come that way. But this is awesome. So this, of course, is the great possibility is that God could speak to you and tell you what to do. That would be awesome. Now, let me just say that that, of course, has to be balanced with what our pastor may say. Because you may genuinely hear from God, but the key is when. Even when God told me to go to South Africa, it was so clear. It was almost an audible voice. I've never had God speak to me that clearly. And it was so clear, I went and told my wife, I'm assuming it's got, like, we're going. I mean, let's go. And my wife, using common sense, we had only actually just moved to Australia. We'd only been there 5 months. And she said, okay, but I don't think that makes sense right now. And that was wisdom. That may be what happens. You may genuinely hear from God about what God wants you to do in your life, but your pastor may see other factors, that it might not be right now, or there may be other factors. And so having a pastor also will help you to determine the will of God. That's a great blessing of having a pastor. So direct leading. God leads people by direct leading. Secondly, is what I call stirring or drawing. And so God stirs people to be interested in places. Now, this is not the clear voice of God. This is not God telling you, you shall go to Toledo, Ohio. But in some way, the Holy Spirit causes us to be interested in a place. And there can be lots of reasons for that. You have people that they are naturally interested in the place that they are from. That's where they grew up. They got saved somewhere else, but they're from a different place, and so they're naturally drawn to that place. They went to school. You went to university in a certain place. They have family in a certain place. They were stationed somewhere in the military. Different reasons. So there may be a natural drawing because of someplace you've been. There are natural factors, but of course, if you have seen different places, it would be natural that you are interested in a place more than others. And God uses life experiences in that way, that He may really use some of those factors. But sometimes we are stirred or drawn to a place that we don't have a natural connection. Very interesting. I don't know if you remember years ago, I did a sermon on vision, and I asked people, where would you like to see a church? And what was interesting is that the different places that God puts on people's hearts, it was not the same in every, I preached that sermon, numbers of different areas. I've talked to many, many different people. They do not all say the same thing. So why is it that one person will be interested in this area or this city and another person not at all? Some of them it's like strange, different nations that they have no connection. They have no background. They don't know the language. There's nothing. And yet it is there because God is at work. He stirs people in that way. There is an interest or a city. I've had at times God may drop the name of a city. I don't even know where it is. I don't even know what is there, but that is God directing me in some way. And sometimes that He is doing that so that we will pray. It might be that somebody else will go. You won't even be the one who will go. That's what happened when I first pioneered, and my wife and I chose a place to go, is that right after we chose that, we had people tell us they were praying for that city. So God was stirring them. They had been praying. I only heard about the city 2 days ago. They had been praying for it for a long time. God stirred them to pray so somebody else would go. And then, of course, sometimes He will stir you for a place. There's a natural interest because that's the place that you will go. And so that's a possibility. So stirring and drawing. Third issue that we see in our scripture here is trouble or closed doors. So Acts 16 is a is a continuation of a missionary journey. They are going to preach the gospel. And what you read is that some things don't go well. This journey goes on into chapter 17. And so you discover that what they intended, what they wanted in some way, maybe even what they were stirred for or drawn to, didn't work out. We read in verse 6, they wanted to go there, but they were forbidden of the Spirit. So, okay, let's go there. And in some way, God said no. Verse 7, the Spirit would not allow them. Okay, well, the first one, or it didn't work out. Let's go to another place. The Spirit would not allow them. Then you find at the end of Acts 16, they're thrown in jail and they have to leave. You move into chapter 17, several different cities, they're beaten, they're run out of town. So now this can be disorienting. So what happens sometimes is God uses trouble, or he uses closed doors, things that don't work out. That is actually how God leads you. When God told me to go to South Africa, okay, now I have the clear voice of God, absolutely. But the city is millions. They don't know. You hear estimates, it's probably 8 to 10 million people that live there. Massive city. I'm from Prescott, Arizona. You can't imagine being dropped in the middle of this place. Where do you begin? So, all right, I went looking for what I was used to. I went looking for a mall, which is not America. A mall is an indoor shopping center. A mall in English countries is an open street. It's cobblestone or paved brick where people can shop, but it's because it's a street, they can't kick you out of it. It's a public place. So those are natural witnessing points. I went and found one. Awesome. All right, I found what I'm used to, and so I went in and me and Mike Sawyer went into a real estate, say, hey, I'm asking about housing here. And the lady asked me, she said, how many servants do you want? Do you want an indoor, outdoor pool? Do you want a tennis court? I'm like, who lives here? And she said, wealthy Jews. I said, oh, okay, I don't want to live here. All right, so the first place, that's not going to work. I went and found another one that looked like what I'm used to. Awesome, this is great. I couldn't find housing near there. I went into, I finally found housing on up the road, 15 minutes, and I went into now look for a hall. And when I got there, this guy, I mean, he was from hell, but, you know, what do you want a hall for? I want it for a church. And he looked at me, I mean, like, angry. He's like, no, we do not want churches here. So I'm like, was that the devil? Was that God? That kind of freaked me out as far as what it was. So I had to move farther up the road. I wound up starting in another area up near my house, and it sucked. It was horrible, man. I mean, no one was getting saved. I wasn't getting people. But out of that, that made me open to go and meet somebody in an area called El Dorado Park, which is where I should have been in the first place. So trouble, closed doors, led me exactly where I needed to be. That's what we see here. We want to go there, the Holy Spirit forbids. I want to go there, he would not allow. You're getting trouble. But they wind up exactly where they need to be. Why? Because God's in control. Because this isn't a human plan, picking a name out of a hat. God is in control. Fourth thing has to do with personal preference versus pastoral direction. Acts 16:10. Can I give that to somebody? You see it there, Caleb?
Now after he had seen the vision, immediately he sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them.
Okay, this is very interesting. Look at the pronouns here. Now after he had seen the vision, that's Paul, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, that's the group, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them, to the other people. So, the only one who saw the vision was Paul. So, Pastor Paul provided direction for the others. And that is this is also valid. So, in one of the basic questions that you begin to consider in pastoring, if you're going to become a pastor, is should you pioneer or should you take a church? And of course, that begins with personal preference. We have guys that they are, I really want to pioneer. To me, it is exciting to start from nothing. I enjoyed that. That's a blast. The idea of going into a city, there are no converts, there's no one waiting for you, and you start. That's fun. There are others that terrifies them. They would hate that. They would like to have their teeth drilled without Novocaine in doing that. That's on the equivalent there. Some people, they would prefer to take a group of people. So that's valid. You do have personal preference. But then you have pastoral direction. There are some men that the pastor may see things. There are some men that they should not. They have issues in them. They should not take a church. It's better for them to pioneer. That they need that. That will teach them to value people. They have some rough edges. There's nothing like having no one to take rough edges off of you. Instead of taking a group of people, having rough edges and offending everyone and running them off. That's the other option. So there's pastoral direction, and that is valid as well, that we see here. Fifth thing has to do with common sense. So in the absence of a voice from God, if God is not telling you, if the pastor is not saying this is what you should do, then you use common sense reasoning. And, you know, God gave you a brain to use. Okay? And if it wasn't damaged by cartoons and weed, then you should use it. Okay. So, using common sense. So I have, from time to time, I have guys that they're genuine, they mean well, and they say, Pastor, I'm stirred, I want to go to New York City. It's like, you grew up in Chino Valley. This is not going to work. It is going to be absolute culture shock. You will freak out. That would not be wise, to go from a tiny town to a metropolis. First off, that's just a little more than probably you can chew at the moment. That doesn't mean that you never should, but that doesn't make common sense. Rare is the person that I would feel good about them going to an absolute metropolis like New York or Chicago in their first shot. That's just my personal logic. Going to a city, if you have only ever flipped burgers at McDonald's, you have limited job skills, you are basically, you're making a barely above minimum wage, and you say, I am called to a city where the rent is $3,000 a month. That's not going to work. Okay, that's going to be impossible. Your struggle to survive will absolutely consume you. So that's a factor. And God gives different people skills. He gives different people earning capacity. And that would factor also into the will of God. We have guys that they say, I feel called to this city. The rent is very expensive, but I have this job. I can work from home. You know, I can make $150 an hour. I can pay my way. All right. That's common sense. We're using common sense in that. If you, most of you are from Prescott, but we have guys that may be going to listen to this later on, that they're from a very small church. If you're from a very small church that probably has a very limited budget, going to a city where all of the expenses are very, very high doesn't make sense. You know, if you're going to a city where rent on a building is going to be $3,000 to $5,000 a month, a small church just can't cover that. So that doesn't make sense that you would choose to go there. And God put you in a smaller church. He knows what he's doing. You can't be mad and go, no, absolutely, I demand to go to Tokyo. That's just not going to work. That doesn't make common sense. So sometimes what you do is you use sanctified investigation. You search for a place using logic. This is if God is not telling you. So you can use all kinds of logic doing that. Where are there no churches? That would be a basic issue. You know, locating two blocks from another church doesn't make sense, right? Where are people most likely to respond? Again, this is in the absence of God speaking. historically, in our fellowship, people that are most likely to respond are people who are on the move. A place that is growing means people have moved there. They already are willing to change their life in some way. So they're open to change. The idea of you now come to a concert, come to something, change doesn't freak them out. You have other places where nothing has changed. They're living in the house where their great-great-great-great-grandparents grew up. They've never gone more than 5 miles away from their house. Those are people, and that's just logic. That doesn't mean they can't get saved, but if you are in the absence of God speaking, going to a place where nothing ever changes, it's less likely that they are going to respond. Then what kinds of people are most responsive? In our fellowship in America, we say M&Ms, Mexicans and military. If you look at our largest, strongest churches, you will find that they are either Hispanic or military-based. And those are two logical places. So searching for a place, if you're looking for a city and the population is 99% white Amish people, that's probably not the best choice. I'm just suggesting to you. Okay, ethnics would be another in our churches that are strong. Generally, are people from other nations as well, and that's true anywhere in the world. Any of our stronger churches, almost all of them are multicultural. They have people of other races, and again, often that is because those ethnic people have moved, right? They have moved from somewhere else. They're willing to change already. Then, of course, using common sense, what kind of place should be avoided? That could be, that can be an area of the city. That can be a certain city. You know, if you're locating your building next to the headquarters of the Ku Klux Klan, maybe not the best option. You're probably not going to get many other people than white Southerners there. An extremely narrow slice. If you were locating in, you want to plant a church in Beverly Hills, I would avoid that. Very wealthy, and in our fellowship, we basically don't have churches that get established in wealthy areas. They almost are non-existent. And there's a reason for that. But so there are places, of course, that should be avoided, and I'm not hitting all of them, but that's true. What is the cost of living? That's a factor, as I said. If you have limited income skills, if your church has limited... These days, you can find information. Pick any place on earth. You can find absolutely, to the smallest degree, you can Google demographics. They will give you a breakdown in percentages. What is the population? They'll tell you the percentage. How many white, black, Latino, outer Latvian, whatever. They'll tell you every type of person who lives there. They'll tell you income levels. They'll tell you schooling, ages, everything you can find in that. So when Lisa and I was actually sent out of the church in Perth, West Australia. So before me, every concert director, every guy that went out, you know, where are you going? I'm going there. Why? Because that's where I'm from. That's where I was born. Why are you going there? That's where I went to school. That's where I used to serve. You know, there was all kinds of reasons. That's where I have family. Me, I'm from Prescott, Arizona. I plop in the middle of Perth, West Australia. So now where do you go? I've never been anywhere. I was in the airport in Sydney once. You know, I've never gone anywhere. West Australia had a bunch of little country towns. So I used some sanctified common sense. God was not telling me. Now I'm concert director. I'm about to go out. He was not saying, Greg, thou shalt go. Two, so I use common sense. In those days, it was an atlas. And I'm dating myself. There used to be a book called an atlas. It had pictures. It was on paper. And it had in there, there was no such thing as Google. You found, and it gave all the information pre-Google. You could find a city, population, a little bit of demographics, what was the basis of the city, et cetera, et cetera. And I use sanctified common sense. I hate tiny towns. I go into depression going into, you know, we used to go in the concerts in these little tiny towns of 3,000 people, 5,000. Oh, we would drive in, and it would, when we would come out of the city, when we would hit the edge of Perth, and I would see like, you know, a fast food chain is like, Jesus, I'm back. Okay, so I didn't think I would do well in a tiny town, but on the other hand, because I was from a small place, I didn't think it'd be wise for me to plop into the city of millions. So I said, how about I'm going to look for a city 50,000 and above and 500,000 and below. 50,000 to 500,000. That seems like a logical size. 50,000, there are some people there, it wouldn't be small and depressing to me. That's a personality issue. It's under 500,000, that's an apple I can take a bite of. Okay. In that, I narrowed it down to three choices. Australia is not a big place in those days. I narrowed it down to three choices and began to make calls. What do you think of this place? And guys, yeah, it's okay. It's all right. And another place, what do you think? This place is awesome. I wish I went there. So, okay, I chose the city. An hour and a half later, Lisa and I are at lunch, and this city, I'd never heard of it until 2 days ago. Launceston, Tasmania was the city I chose. And at lunch that day, out of the blue, I don't even know these people have any connection. Man, we are praying for Launceston, Tasmania. We need a church there. Why? Oh, I have family there. Wow. That was like, man, that's God. The next night, we're at a fellowship, and a guy said, man, I've been praying. God has put on my heart, Launceston, Tasmania, we need a church there. So we went there, and that was God. So my point in all of these is God leads in different ways, and you have to be open to all of them. Second point, hearts that are helped. So very quickly, what do you need? What kind of heart then is able to process these factors? Number one, you need flexibility in order to be led of God. You may have something in mind. I want to pioneer, but circumstances, but we have a need. So if you're not flexible, no, I have to, then you're going to miss God or so part of life is you have to flex. You roll with it, you know. Jake Snyder told me he absolutely wanted to pioneer, but had a need, and I really felt that he should take the church in 29 Palms. He flexed, no problem. Did that, and that's working well. God's helping him. Flexibility. Obedience. What we see in the Acts chapter 16, we're looking in our Sunday school at the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit speaks, you need to obey. The Spirit would not allow us. The Holy Spirit, okay, that's it. Whatever God says, I obey. That is success in life. I thoroughly recommend to you. I'm listening at the moment to Reinhard Bonnke's autobiography, A Life of Fire. You need to get this book. You need to. It's a very thick book. I'm listening to it on 1.25 speed. He reads it and he talks really slow. As I'm reading at 1.25 speed, which sounds about right. And besides, it'll make it faster because it's 25 hours long. But nonetheless, it's very inspiring as he hears from God and he obeys. It's very, very inspiring. So obedience, that's the second kind of heart. Thirdly is you have to trust in God. That's crucial in all of ministry. You have to trust this is God's plan. So you can trust him in whatever happens. Psalm 37, 23.
The Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in him.
Wow, that's a different translation. What is that?
NIV.
NIV, okay. So the steps of a good man are ordered, which means planned. So you need to learn this in life. You say there are things like, man, and things went wrong, or I failed, or whatever. The steps of a good man are ordered. God knew that in advance. He plans things. Nothing happens by accident. They could have said, man, we were beaten and run out, and that's the city where I wanted to be. The steps of a good man are ordered, planned. You can trust God. I've had things that like absolutely hurt my head. It's like, where was God in any of that? I can look back and I said, that was God. Absolutely. No fun at the time, but it happens because God is at work. Final thought, blessing follows obedience. So two things I just point out when you follow the will of God. Number one, sometimes new areas are open for the work of God. Romans 15:20.
And so I have made it my aim to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build on another man's foundation.
Okay, sometimes this is what God leads us to, is you can go to a city where we have never had a church, or a nation that we've never had a church. That's a very exciting thing to open something for God. The second thing that we find in Acts chapter 16 is, never lose sight of this, specific people. Specific hearts are open and lives are changed. Acts 16, 14 and 15.
Now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple in the city of Thyatira, who worshipped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. And when she heard her household was baptized, she begged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." So he persuaded us.
Okay, so here is in Acts 16. Sometimes we get into that, we think it's all about us, right? What I want to do, and my name's going to be on. But it's all about the people. So think about this. All these things that are happened, God knew there was a lady there named Lydia and her family. They needed to be saved. And the Bible tells us her name, her life was changed. This is something. When I chose Launceston, Tasmania out of a book, the profound thing is we were announced Friday night. The next night, a lady named Regina, she's 3,000 miles away from her home, visiting, comes to the concert, gets saved. She got saved, went home, told her friends, and I could tell you of Sheena and Sonia, Mike and Alina, people that God saved, their lives were changed. South Africa went there. I could tell you of Sean and Cheryl Stellenberg, saved in our house. Now they're pastoring. And just many different names I could name of people. Their lives were changed forever. That's what the gospel is about. So my final thought is this. Every place I've gone, there have been people, their hearts were open at that moment in time. If I came 5 years later, I don't know where they would have been. But they were ready at that moment. Think about that. Right now, while you're here in Prescott, Arizona, there are people in another city that God already knows their names of people that He has planned. Remember, the steps of a good man are ordered. He has planned that someday you may go to that city and you will be the one that they'll get saved. That, to me, is the most incredible thing in all of life, is God knows the specific people that He's chosen for our lives to impact. And that is what comes when we make choices and we follow leading in pioneering or in pastoring. Okay, let's open for some questions about this issue. Andy.
In the absence of God speaking to you, would it be smart to go to a city that perhaps is seeing a lot of revival and a room for more churches? Just yeah. Very responsive.
Sure. That's personal preference. One person may be drawn to that. I want to go where the fishing is good. Yes. Another person, God put something different on their heart. I want to go where there is nobody. And that I don't have any problem with either one. Again, that may come with a pastor. There are guys that I want to go in the middle of nowhere where there's no one. That doesn't make sense. You should be more closer to help. There are other guys, I have no problem with that. Maybe their personality, experience level are different. But that's a logical conclusion. Yes. Yeah. So often in that way, if you're choosing, 55 churches in a row have gone to that city and they've all closed. If God speaks to you, great, but maybe that's not the best choice. So what you're saying is a logical choice. Yes. Sure. Somebody else. You got to speak up, dude.
How do you tell the difference between like a closed door and resistance that you gotta, you know, take dominion and power through?
Well, you don't in some ways. I think one of the factors is it in a, well, number one, a pastor obviously can give you more experience. He can help pray with you or give you insight in things you don't see. When I first went to Launceston, it was, I don't remember, it was over 50,000, maybe 60,000 people, something like that. So if I went there and a guy said, no, we don't want churches there, there's no other options, right? So you're from hell, I'm going to press through anyway, I'll find another option. But in a city of millions, you can go anywhere. I don't think there's one holy place. You can literally start anywhere. So in that case, that's actually what freaked me out, is because I wasn't sure. So I, you know, talked with Pastor and then made a choice. So it's not finding the will of God is not easy sometimes. It's not meant to be. Because if finding the will of God was easy, you wouldn't need God. Right? It would be. So there is something. Finding the will of God sometimes involves uncertainty so that you are dependent. It makes you feel that, oh God, you got to show me. That's good for you. So ultimately then you have a pastor and he helps you in that way. Yeah? So
could you also say that if you do hear God's voice of this way, sort of, it's pretty obvious, and there is, it doesn't mean it's going to be everything rolled out before you, red carpet.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You'll have to keep going.
No. Yeah, you'll have roadblocks. Yes, you'll have trouble, even if it's the will of God. That's true. So, but there does come a time we use. You know, this is one of the problems in California that we're running into, is you have guys that they have cities that are absolutely anti-God. We have cities that are literally, a homosexual is the one who makes the choice for permits and buildings and planning and all that, and they hate churches. And so there are cities where those people need Jesus, but at this point in time, we have guys like, he's tried and tried and tried and can absolutely, it is impossible to get a building at this point in time. So we've had to say, you are wise to move along, find a different city. And so that's true for now. So instead of saying, no, by God, I'm supposed to be here. Yeah, well, then you're in a struggle for many years until that guy dies of AIDS or whatever. You know, I don't know. Something else. Yeah. Other questions?
All right. How do we build discernment when it comes to obeying the Holy Spirit? You say it's a point out to obey the Holy Spirit.
So whatever God is speaking to you now, you do it. That's... discernment is progressive. If God doesn't speak to somebody about their entire life plan right now, he doesn't speak to you about huge issues generally right now. He speaks to us about, you need to pray for that person. You need to give $50 in the offering. You whatever God speaks, whatever he says, do it. John 2. That's how you develop discernment. So then you get confidence. You learn, I did what God said. Now he's able to trust me with more. To whom much is given, much is required. And other verses that give that issue. So obedience develops discernment. Somebody else wants to know? Andy?
So another, you said you were looking at an atlas and looking at different, analytics on that city.
Uh-huh.
How about when you go to a city, do you look at, in the absence of God speaking to you at a specific spot, extreme wealth or extreme poverty, not going to both extremes?
Yeah. I've done whole lessons on that. So, first of all, choosing the city itself, then a city is made up of all different...
Yeah.
You ever drive in Phoenix? You ever been, it's like, wow, this place is beautiful. And then you cross the street, it's like, wow, this is like the hood. I'm going to die.
Yeah.
You know, and so cities are just made up of all different kinds of neighborhoods. And so you have to, then you have to do more investigating. Then you do on the ground. So in a big city, I say to guys, you get to a big city, you use common sense. We don't locate our church in extremely wealthy areas. They just don't. That doesn't make common sense. That's the least responsive people is wealthy. That's biblical. That's a biblical basis. So we don't do that. On the other hand, if you locate in the hood, you live, if you locate your church next to a crack house, next to the, you know, the Crips and Bloods headquarters, then you're not going to get anybody else except for the people from that area. You have people that they don't know. I don't go there. So you often don't know that. So you can, first of all, you can narrow it down by Googling, by analyzing. Secondly, you need to investigate. You move around, you drive, you go by feel. If you develop discernment over time, if you pray, you can feel. I go to places like this place is funky. I don't know anybody there. I don't know what they're doing there. This place, there's something, I feel gross in this area. I don't like it. Another one, man, this place feels good. That's a spiritual. You're filled with the Holy Spirit. There's a knowing. He will guide you into all truth. One of the issues we'll talk about this morning in Sunday school. So all truth would be, where should I land, right? Then I say, go fishing. Where should I go? I don't know, go witness to people. So you go there, you know, and they're all telling you where you can go and showing you directions with their finger. Then maybe that's not the best. You go to another place. Yes, what must I do to be saved? How can I join your church? Maybe this is God speaking, right? That's it. Then you use all kinds of common sense. You ask locals. I've gone to an area, like, this is the thing, when I went to South Africa, I knew nothing about the nation, how it operated. I'm looking around during the day, and it's mixture. There's white, there's black, there's like, yes, great. I would even stop black people. And I didn't realize I'm in this extremely wealthy, multimillionaire area. And I'm like, where do you live? And they would point, over there. Well, I didn't realize it meant an hour and a half by taxi. You know, that's just their culture. So then the other thing is, and you ask locals, hey, you know, this area, you know, Forbing Park, what kind of people live there? You know, ghetto, criminal, psychos, that's the headquarters of the Ku Klux Klan. You know, there's all, or you get locals. I never go there. I would not be caught dead there. Well, you should listen to that. That's common sense. Right? So you do that, then you look at a place day and night, and they're totally different. There are places they look awesome during the day. At night, you want to have an AK-47. It changes. So that's common sense investigating. Then making those choices, then you can look around and make a choice in those different ways. That's further investigation. Robert?
When you were considering a place, did you go on vacation there or something and go visit?
No, I didn't have the option. You have to understand, if you ever seen a map of Australia, I was in West Australia. America and Australia are very similar. I was on the West Coast, kind of where San Diego is, but half of the nation is West Australia, and it's desert. It's all desert. Back then, it was a city of 1 million. After that, the next city was 25,000. And under that, it went 3,000, 5,000, you know, 2,000. It was tiny little places. So I couldn't go anywhere. I didn't have any money. When I married my wife, I was making big bucks. I made 97 bucks a week, and she married me for my money. So I didn't have money to go anywhere. So it wasn't an option. So, yeah, of course, if you can, some of you can do that. You can go on vacation. You can take a trip, look around. Sure. But the beauty these days is you can go on a computer, you can go anywhere in the world without having to be there personally. Save you a lot of money. Somebody else. Thinking.
You pointed out the pronoun when he was saying Paul and then we. I've noticed a lot of times with Paul's, he has a group with him.
Uh-huh.
It's almost like a small army as they go from city to city trying to start a church.
Yep.
We tend to do that, or we tend not to do that. Our church sends a guy and his wife to a place. Why don't we do that?
Yeah, well, I mean, there's two things. Is number one, the first reason we don't send, we have a Bible pattern, 2x2. That's what Jesus did. He sent them 2x2. So which we would interpret that as husband and wife. That's first of all. In our application, number two, why don't we send? because we tried it once and all they did is fight. That's the second issue. You have personal fighting, then you have the converts, you know, who is the pastor. You know, a church really, really can only have one pastor. You may have, as the church grows, you have assistants and et cetera, but one person needs to determine the direction of the church, so in different ways. In Paul's day, obviously, I'm not the Apostle Paul. I can't argue with his success. There may have been factors of danger. There may have been lots of different reasons why he did that. I don't know. But no, we don't as a fellowship. There are churches that do that. And then the other thing is expense. So if you're, you know, we, on average, when we first send a church, we are spending, if we're still giving them support, we're giving them $3,000 to $5,000 a month. That's for one family, one couple. So if we send five families, do the math. You know, how are you going to afford that? So that's a logical reason. But there are churches that do that. I mean, I see that they... They plant mega churches. Some of them, their idea of church planting is that they gather 200 people from the church and they go start a church somewhere else. God bless it, man. Whatever. So if they're doing something for God, I can't argue with that. That's just not how we choose to do that. Anybody else?
How do you deal with that? It's actually, I was reading 2 Peter chapter 2 this morning. And thinking about, again, discernment and the Holy Spirit. You walk into a place like Houston, for example. A friend of mine just got sent from our church to Houston. This is a churchy, like religious culture. And so I'm thinking, man, you're coming up against some real stuff, you know, some pushback, maybe some, you know, poverty spirit. Do you have an example of that, of when you walked into a city where you thought, oh, man, I'm taking dominion, this is my place, I got it, and you come against kind of like resistance when it comes to religiosity, especially now. I see that growing really, really fast in this.
What's the question?
My question is, how do you counterattack that? Like, how do you counteract that?
Well, you know, South Africa was incredibly religious. I went from Australia, was godless. I witnessed to people. I had people freak me out the first time when I was in Australia. You know, opening line, you ever heard about Jesus? No. You're messing with me. Like, no. I literally, it's like, I didn't even know where to start. Like, then I go to South Africa where, you know, drug dealers tithed. You know, they were religious to the core. So, yeah, they didn't tithe to me, personally, but not their drugs either, you know. So you have to adapt. Number one, no matter what you face, you have to determine the culture doesn't change the Word of God. So I don't change my, I don't change the gospel. I don't change my faith according to what I'm doing. So the bottom line, every place you go in the world, you got to deal with something. Every pastor I've ever met in the whole world has a reason why it's not working there. Everybody knows us. They're too wealthy. They're too poor. They're too educated. They have no education. They're too godless. They're too religious. They got something. So you just got to have... So it's faith. God, the gospel works. That's number one. Then I had to change my witnessing approach. In Australia, it was very simple. You're a Christian, you believe in God, yes, yes, yeah, you believe about, yes, yeah. Are you born again? It was easy. It was a no-brainer. It was very, very easy to witness people. South Africa, yes, you've been born again, yes. I did repent. They used Christian words. Stone-cold killers. I did repent, Pastor. When? At the tent crusade. I did repent. They use gospel words. But then I had to specify, okay, wait, no. What I mean is and I had to specify sin. It wasn't enough to talk in general about sin. I had to, no, what I mean is you stop drinking. You stop taking drugs. And this is a literal witness I had one time. The guy, no problem, I never drank anyway. You stop sleeping with people you're not married to. Oh, that's a tough one. Okay. In South Africa, it often came down to sex. You had to specify. It's like, oh, that's what you mean. Okay. So that's what you did. You had to. What's the change? I had to challenge you. What change in your life? Okay, you go to church, but you've always went to church. People grew up in church. So what's the change? So you had to get very clear with them.
Alex?
Going into places like a liberal state and trying to witness to people, but do you have to be very careful what you say, or is it like
I'm not big on politics in general. Yeah, you think of how many times you ever hear me refer to politics in sermons.
Nothing.
Yeah, so I just don't think it's helpful. It's not the gospel.
But I mean, like, when talking to people about Jesus Christ, like, hey, this, like, going up to certain people, can you get, in trouble for that, I guess?
Fortunately in America, we have rights, and you can, there are things you can, you could, but, use common sense.
Yeah.
You know, if you're standing up in the middle of the gay pride parade, shouting that you're all going to, sodomites are all going to burn in hell, that's probably going to cause you a few problems, yep. That doesn't make common sense anyway, right? Thinking? You look like a deep thought there you had.
Real quick, so have you ever been in a place where you felt like you was disobedient to the Holy Spirit? You felt like you might have heard from God and you kind of like pass it off a little bit. Oh, I'll take care of that later.
Oh, I probably have in different ways, but that's probably a little beyond what I want to discuss today. Something else. Somebody else have a question? Something else you want to ask?
Not to say, like what he was kind of saying, like, oh, well, if they're liberal state, you shouldn't go not witness those type of people or whatever like that because you'd get in trouble. But do you think that political and cultural atmospheres would determine whether you should or should not go to a certain area?
If you're only using common sense.
Right.
In the absence of God speaking.
Right.
Yeah. So sure, if you are going to a place that you know is an absolute liberal homosexual stronghold, that doesn't make common sense unless God is telling you to. Right? I would just prefer why go there. Why go there when you know that what the council is going to do? You know the problems you're going to have. It's going to be an uphill fight. Why choose that when you can go to a place that doesn't have those factors?
Right. So then, if it's like a common sense thing, do you think maybe God will put it on somebody else's heart to go there?
Sure.
Because
absolutely.
Because I mean, like, if that was
because yeah, time, absolutely. Because God doesn't want us to write off the world.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
That's one of the things, that's why I'm not into politics from the pulpit. That's not my thing, because, I mean, if you use common sense, if you just use, rough math, basically in elections they're almost 50-50, right?
Yeah.
So what am I going to do? Send 50% of America to hell? That's currently 165 million Americans. You're going to all burn in hell because you don't vote like me?
Yeah.
That doesn't make sense.
Right.
Right, so obviously God wants to save people, and we have churches in liberal strongholds in different areas. But I'm just saying, for the average person, God has not spoken to me so far. Why would you choose someplace that you know it's going to be an uphill fight?
Right.
Unless God is telling you. God may tell somebody else, sure. And often that's an experience thing. Often in the liberal strongholds are often have more money. And so therefore it's, you need someone with more experience, more earning capacity, different factors as well. I mean, that's just common sense to me. Yep. But that works the other way as well. If you were going to land, white dude from Chino Valley going to land in the middle of an all-black, I'm going to start a church in Watts, it might not be the best. I'm going to Compton, right? And my name is... Never mind. Yeah, but it works two ways. Common sense is a wonderful thing.
Did you ever have to, coming up against trouble, did you ever have to refer back to when God spoke to you about going to that specific, to South Africa?
Yeah. I mean, in South Africa, one of the, especially more for my wife, actually. So you, the level of violence, you hear me tell story. I can't even accurately describe the violence that was off the charts. So you have to understand, I arrive one day, I'm staying in this funky little bed and breakfast. It's cold, it's rainy, it's middle of winter, freezing. I open the paper, the Star, I think. They have crimes. Crime had to have some outrageous element to even have a normal story. They had to be stabbed 175 times, or, you know, they had to be tortured with, you know, irons. That literally happened, you know, different. So they had the crime count. Crime count was just stuff that they would be three lines. I'm opening up. A guy, there, you know, two dudes are fighting, and he threw a hand grenade. What? Seriously? You know, he stabbed him 69 times. Like, this is violence is off the charts. And then you're meeting, and every white person is helpful. It's like, oh, they're waiting to rape you and kill you. And so my wife, she's freaked out. And so she had to pray. She's like, God, you told my husband to come. I didn't actually tell her, told my husband. And so you got to, and so she did. And God spoke to her in prayer. And in the book of Acts is I've chosen many people in this city, and no one will touch you to harm you. And God spoke, and she was fine. And then we absolutely live without fear in an incredibly dangerous. We use common sense. We are cautious, but I didn't live in fear. So yes, you do have to. God told me that would be. I would have helpful people. I'd have pastors that come visit me and then tell me I would never bring my family. There's no way. They'd send me articles. This is the most dangerous city in the world, apart from, you know, a war zone. He's like, thank you very much. And so I would often refer back to God told me to come here. I don't think he told me to come here to kill me. So that means I think he's gonna keep us safe. So yeah, you do have to refer to your calling. Yep.
Have you had God, people, instead of a city, God speaks a group of people, speak to them, like to reach a certain group of people?
Yes, but I don't know that I've ever had someone who, I want to go to a city because God is telling me to reach Latvians, you know what I mean, a group of people like that. Generally what happens is you have people in a church, in an existing church. God may speak to a disciple. I keep meeting people from Cambodia, from, you know, some group of people. I want to reach them, or I have a heart for young student athletes, or, you know, they're drawn in that way. But not really I'm going to a city because I'm drawn to a certain group of people. No, not generally. Edgar.
Pastor, how do you find a place where you can put a building where both socioeconomic status people would go?
You locate on the edge. So you don't locate in the middle of wealth. You don't locate in the middle of the hood. You locate at a place that is acceptable for people to go. The rule of thumb I use is people are willing to go up. They're not willing to go down. You know, people, middle class person will not go to the hood. They won't do it. Person in the hood would be willing to go to a middle class area generally. So you locate in the edge, in the middle. That's kind of what you're looking for, if you can. And that's not, you know, these are difficult things to work out sometimes in life. Yeah. Very good.